That was rough.
You didn't deserve that. Hello. Any Cork person who has the temerity to live elsewhere, well advised to have a list. Here he comes, great poems, not to be just busting the shop as he goes along. So I have a list, if I could find it here. I'm delighted to be back. I'm delighted to have an opportunity to salute Paul Casey and all who sailed with him in Ogvale. It's one of the most coveted invitations in the country is to come and read at Ogvale. And you can see why. I'm looking forward to the open mic, far more than I'm looking forward to reading these poems. Because you just have very suspicious faces. Now, there's at least one man here who's very fond of one of my beautiful cousins, and I'm relying on him to keep order, if there's any heckling, which there won't be. I start with a poem called Long Valley Vignette. All of you, apart from Mick Hannigan, are too young to remember Humphrey Moynihan.
Huh. One. Oh, I'm just here, right?
Jesus, Cotter, I'm trying to be nice, you know? But those of you who were prematurely drinkers in the Long Valley will remember Humphrey and Rita with great fondness. I spent a great deal, perhaps more than I should have, of my life in the Long Valley at one time. And you'd find all sorts of curious characters communing with nature at the bar. Long Valley Vignette. In the drained glass, in the barman's smile as you slowly grow absent, as in mirrors that repeat a childhood nightmare, no reflection. You say, we live in Babel. You say, we live in hell. Nobody disagrees. You stare in the mirror, and childhood is very near, and thirsted for oblivion. Humphrey, allow me to buy this man a drink. I grew up, I used the term advisedly, in Blackpool. And one of my very first friends, and still my dearest friend, Mick Hannigan, is the dedicatee, which is a word I'm very fond of this poem. It's called A Nocturne for Blackpool. Some of you will need it explained to you that Tomás McCurtain was the Republican Lord Mayor of Cork, murdered in his bed by an RIC death squad headed by a fellow called Swansea. I think nothing else needs explaining in this. No. A Nocturne for Blackpool for Mick Hannigan. Dolphins are coursing in the blue air outside the window, and the sparking stars are oxygen bubbling into the moon. At the end of the terrace, unicorns scuff asphalt, one with her neck stretched on the cool roof of a car. The key rasps in the latch, milk bottles click on a sill, a truck heading for Mallow roars, changing gear on a hill. The electric hum of the brewery whines, then drops in pitch, ground bass for the Nocturne of Blackpool. The ghost of Inspector Swansea creeps down Hardwick Street. McCurtain turns down the counterpane of a bed he'll never sleep in. Unquiet murmurs scold from the blue slate rooftops, the death squad no one had thought to guard against. The young sunburned hurlers flex in their beds, dreaming of glory, great deeds on the playing fields, half days from school, while their slightly older sisters dream of men and pain, an equation to be puzzled out again and again. Wallow Delay, homeward bound on the Commons Road, belts out airs from Trovatore. The recipe is before nobody stirs from sleep, and puzzled a judge, contented, pokes at ashes. There's many a lawyer here today could learn from this man. North Chapel, the Assumption, Farden Ferris, and Blackpool. The mass of the church in stone rears like rock from the sea, but the interlaced lanes flick with submarine life, older than priests can or want to understand. This woman believed Jack Lynch stood next to God, who broke the Republic. This man beyond, his face turned to the wall, stares at his friend, whose face will not cease from burning in the icy sea, torpedoed of Murmansk from a tanker. He shot him. Now nightly he watches him sink. Here is a woman the wrong side of 40, sightless in her kitchen, as she struggles to make sense of the redundancy notice, of her boorish son just home 4 years on the dole, foul mouth, of her husband who has aged 10 years and has many days. The bells of Shandon jolt like electricity through lovers in a cold water flat beneath the attic of a house in Hatton's Alley. The ghost of Frank O'Connor smiles on fever hospital steps as mon boys go by arguing about first pints of stout and Che Guevara. The unicorns of legend or the donkeys of childhood. Nobody knows that better than we know it ourselves. But we know also that dolphins are coursing through the blue air outside our windows, and the sparking stars are oxygen bubbling to the moon. We are who we are and what we do. We study indifference in a hard school and in a hard time, but we keep the skill to make legend of the ordinary. We keep an eye on the slow clock of history in Blackpool. Jesus himself, as they say around here, was born in a stable. Mm. Still bamboozled by Mary's mother and wondering how Everton came in. I didn't think anybody in Cork had ever heard of Everton. I thought it was United and the rest.
Barry and Zoe.
Just a tad, right?
You have any other football teams on Thursday?
Robin Rowland just pointed out there's an awful lot of dead people in this book. And all I could say is there'll be a lot more in the next one. So I'll tell you a few things that people don't know. I'm going to read three poems from the title sequence, the nine poems of the title sequence of Nine Bright Shadows. The first one remembers a pal of ours from primary school who died as we moved into secondary, Barney Coleman. He was working for Irish Steel and he died. He was the first person I knew who figured out how to ride a bicycle with his hands in his pockets. And I many a scrape trying to figure out how to do it myself. We worked it out in the end. But Barney died. It was the first great shock. You're 13 or 14 and somebody you assumed would always be there was gone. I won't freak you out by telling you how he died, but it wasn't nice. So he's the one I had in mind.
Was it quick?
Alas, no. A dead boy stands under a falling ball, gathering the future in its downward rush, a blank Sputnik plunging to earth, and the wind buffeting his face is the wind of the world without him, January wind of the world when he is gone. The night rattles my window, and he stands on the green outside, a city he never stood in, the ball still falling, a winter moon full in the sky. And a wind from the moon sweeps the dead boy away, away. Friend of my childhood, how hot our blood was, how springy and clean our breathing and our bones. Now I am stiff and tired and cold, and you are not. They used to make us go up to the Mon field on Wednesdays. I think the Christian Brothers, I used the word Christian and Brothers in heavy and dark comments. They were neither Christian nor brotherly. They used to make us go up purely, I think, because they knew we would be cold and wet and miserable. But you know what? Fuck them. We were able for them. Fog on the playing field, late evening. We make a line, and sweeping the lank grass with our hurleys, we cross from one side to the other, searching for what is lost. Now we are cold, as sweat dries on our backs, our legs are blue, our breath staggered and wispy in the air. The line advances. Year by year it advances towards the deep ditch where, one by one, if the earth endures, in time they will find our bones. I raise my head up and find myself still out there in that line, beating the grass in a fury, such a waste of time. I see the long file stretch out across the field, gaps in the ranks already, uncertain men where once there were boys who would downface Alexander. And one more from that. The gas man flicks coins from the table into his cupped palm. blur of copper and silver. He stacks neat columns to one side. We like that something is returned. We like this man. Today he stands at the top of the steps, side by side with my father. They are looking down and away into the stepped valley, not speaking now, watching someone swing brisk down water lane. I am turning over. Pneumonia, pleurisy, septic lung. And they turn to look at me. A new word, sudden and clear. Pity. I say it silently, like the other words. Small, hard, polished things. Nuala, I say. Nuala. Somehow, it is in my head he will take her away in his leather bag, or a small dead sister. I think this, even though she's already away, with the doctor and his leather bag in his shiny, shiny car. My mother lies in a dark bedroom, staring up at nothing. I hope to live long enough to write something funny.
Live long.
I think this is funny. Not everybody does. The angel of history. In the Parliament House on Kildare Street, the lamps were burning. It was a winter night, the usual slant rain falling. I had paused to light up a cigarette to watch the lone guard stamp her feet blow uselessly into her cupped, gloved hands. In the colonnade of the National Library, a man was standing. A man neither old nor young, his head bare, half turned towards the lights in the Parliament House, the high blank windows. I saw him reach inside his long loose coat, take out a notebook. I crossed the road, gathering my own long coat around me, stood in behind him, looked over his shoulder. He paid no heed. One after another, I saw him strike them out from a long list of names, senators, deputies, ministers. One after another, the names dissolved on the page, a scant dozen remaining. I watched him inking a question mark after each of these, neat and precise. He put the book away, sliding it down carefully into a deep pocket. He turned and looked at me, nothing like pity in those hollow eyes. He sighed, then squared his shoulders, lifted his face to the rain, and was gone. Gone as if he had never been. But I saw him. I know who he was. I witnessed that cold, exact cancellation. Walked on, walked home, thoughtful, afraid for my country. Mm. Learning Death. I took the title from beautiful poem by Nuala Ní Gcóin, like Fáilim a Bháis. But that's all I took, I swear. I didn't see anything. The first time I knew myself mortal, that unmistakable catch in the breath, we were new to each other still. I was stroking your face as you sank towards sleep and said, without meaning to, call me if you need me over there. Full moonlight, the square white bedroom, your eyes startling open, aftershock in the cold air of what I had just said, the crackling electric thought we took, one breath between us, so close we lay. How matter of fact that was, how clear. And there we were, borne up on a void soundlessly opened, shy with each other, stricken all of a sudden to know time might contrive to part us against our will. I knew what mortal meant. You might call, and I would not be there for you. Grief, worse than any I had felt my life until then. Now, facing the white blank of the page, that thought again, unbidden. There will be an end to words, an end to compact, breath. You shaped my face in your hands, you said, you'll be there, I'll be there. And we slept. tell me this as I'm among my own. Do I really look grim when I'm reading Crichton?
No.
I'm always, oh good, they're working. They're actually pure glass, you get out of it. It just suddenly dawned on me, you know. Anyway, here's some more poems about dead people. This is from my friend Manos Kazakopoulos. He was one of the crankiest men I ever met, which is possibly why we got on so well. But he was an engineer, a professional crank, a delightful man and a sailor. And he died a year and a half.
Good man.
Going home. Come, Capitan. We've a fair wind for Icaria, a sound boat and a steady crew. You know them well, friends of your youth, good companions all. Give me your hand and step aboard. The night is coming on, we've a star or two to steer by. Come sit here by the helm and take your ease. Southeast to clear the roads, then round to the north. How many times have we made this course on good days and bad all these long years? Dear friend, just think of it. So many journeys, such treasure of memory stored in our bones. How fortunate we have been in our wanderings over the broad sea, the fruitful, fragrant earth. And what have we learned? That all voyages have a beginning and an end. Just so. We'll be lighting the lamps in Agios Cubicos, setting the tables, gathering to the tavernas, and I to the harbour entrance, the incoming craft. A fine welcome they'll have for you. Home at last to a berth under the etheras, under the olives. Friend, we are at your service. Give the command. My lovely Uncle John died 2 weeks ago, on the 18th of October. And his wife, my beloved Aunt Angela, died 6 years ago now. So I'm going to read a pair of poems, and they're kind of matched poems. The Laughing Girl. Midsummer, the road opening down into the valley, the laughing girl on the road walking away from us, and down there in the trees by the bridge over the river, her brothers and father and sisters and her mother smiling. Out of our arms and into theirs, the laughing girl on the road. And the ash was late this year, but the leaves are out at last, and up above Thomas Davis Street, the pipe band is rehearsing our lives, our seasons and stories turning under eternal light. Play me the old tunes, I tell the recording angel, the ones she loved, the ones she danced to. And tell me the old stories. Tell me everything written down in that bright book. Everyone here has a part of the story. We need to braid them into a living river. Down on the road she turns and her eyes are shining. Eyes of a dancing daughter, a youngest sister. Eyes of a mother. Her gaze giving back the clear eyes of her beautiful daughters. The merry, sparkling eyes of her beloved aunt. And far back, where her eyes are indeed the window to her soul, I see the tall pipe major who gave her at once and forever his whole heart. We close around him in a solid phalanx, and she smiles who loved him so. A lone swan beats through the air above the river, catching the light. Midsummer, the road opening down into the valley, the laughing girl on the road walking away from the world. And down there in the trees, by the bridge over the river, all of us, with our arms thrown wide in welcome. Pibroch for John O'Connell. The day came in on a falling wind, and down in the village a girl was singing. A fisherman was calling from the cafe on men, once companions of his youth, who are now like him, bent, humorous, unbroken. The Scots call it an Colmore, the great music made to sweep over mountains, to carry down glens, be heard at a great distance and close, very close, to drumbeat of the heart. We hear it break over the barren ridge across the small bay, faint from far off, and we know that the tall pipe major has been called away home. He shoulders the drums, flexing his fingers, summoning his breath and straightening his back for this last march on earth. My dear brave Uncle John, handsomest man I ever saw, we thought the whole parade your retinue on St. Patrick's Day as you strode out the streets of Cork head held high, Aunt Angela holding us close, glory and pride shining in her eyes and in ours. You know, and we know, today's march will bring you to her arms again, life companion, beloved wife, mother of bright daughters. But give us the sorrow of the music. Throw back your head and let it come, all that a true and honest man can give. Sorrow at sundering, before consolation comes with the echoes, the fading music of what was, then the glorious air made new. Slán it on. Just over a year since we lost Leonard. I have to tell this story. No, I'll tell you in a minute. The Troubadour's departure. It should really be a Leonard song.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, pick your favourite Leonard song, start the track rolling, and I'll say the poem. When the long pale riders come down from the hills, down from the edge of the forest on their tall horses, coming easy and slow with all the time in the world, relaxed and looking about them as they always do, a cold wind will come on ahead of them, bending the heavy grasses up through the valley. This is what happens the day they come for a singer, always a wind when they come for one of their own. The old people say, the singers are always at home the day the riders come steadily up through the valley, relaxed and looking about them as they always do, the fair huntress, the three dark brothers. When they come for a singer, they're coming to bring him home. That's what they say, the old people who know. Leonard has lately been singing us songs of the road. This is what happens before they come down to the hill. The women will bear their breasts down in the harvest. The men will come in from the hunt, solemn and silent. The children too will be silent, gathering to the singer. And the oldest woman among us will sing the farewell. The tall huntress will lead up the strong black horse, the saddle crested with silver, stars and a moon. This is what happens the day they come for a singer. They lead up a riderless horse to bring him away. Gracias, Leonard. Gracias for the loan of Leonard. Let him speak kindly of us when he goes home. Gracias, Senora. Gracias for the gift of Leonard. Let him speak kindly of this place when he comes home.
Okay, one more.
Because we have to get on to the important part of the night. Okay, so the story about this, right? I was asked to write Pikachu, a favourite poem, and write a reply to it. And because I'm from Cork, I thought, what's the best poem in the world? I'll have a go at that. when we weren't winning many All-Irelands in those years, someone had to keep the flag, right? So I always loved Cavafy's poem, Ithaca, which everybody here knows, off by heart probably. So I said I'd have a go at that. But around that time, I was listening non-stop to 10 new songs, and specifically Say Goodbye to Alexandra Leaving. So I'm listening to it, I think, hang on a second. So I answered from Joe, pull down Cavafy. And there it is, The God Abandons Anthony. He stole it wholesale. And I'm thinking, good man, Leonard, you thief. The whole lines and phrases from it, right? He just changed Alexandra, which is where Cavafy was born, to Alexandria, and poof, this magnificent song. So I got the mad notion that I dedicate the poem to Mr. Cohen. I ran to John McKenna, who had done a play based on his songs, and he gave me his email. I can safely give it to you now because he's unlikely to be answering. His email address was baldymonk@aol.com. So I sent baldymonk@aol.com an email saying, I've written a poem I'd love to dedicate to you in thanks for all the songs over the years, but of course I won't inflict the poem on you on this. I got an email back, please send poem. So, right, so I sent him the poem. This now is pure boastfulness, right? I got back my all-time favorite email. Two words, it rhymes and it scans. Honored, Leonard. Oh. That, you know, we've all had take the rest of the day off moments. We've had take the rest of the week moments. As far as I'm concerned, just take the rest of your life off. Anyway, I'll finish with that poem. It's lovely to be here.
It's a magic night.
Well, that's magic for me anyway, don't you? These are marvellous. They don't set off the smoke alarms on airplane toilets. And if you're very discreet, you can look as if you're just being talking. And pop it up your sleeve so the guy in the seat next to you on the plane doesn't feel it. That's fine. Science is wonderful. So I leave you with this, and I thank you for your kindness. And I thank Paul again. And his team for the kindness of an invitation. And I'm still thinking about your mother Fluff like an artist. I've been thinking about that for days. Ithaca for Leonard Cohen. When you set out from Ithaca again, let it be autumn, early, the plain leaves falling as you go, for spring would shake you with its quickening, its whispers of youth. You will have earned the road down to the harbour, duty discharged, your toll of labour paid, the house foursquare, your son in the full of fatherhood, his mother, your long beloved, gone to the shades. Walk by the doorways. Do not look left or right. I should have explained, I could stop myself here, because I forgot to explain. Your man, Odysseus, right? He heads off to Troy. It takes him 7 months to get to Troy. It takes him 20 years to get home. Right? You have to feel he wasn't really keen to get back to the farm. You know, he wasn't displaying any great sense of urgency to start doing the headage counts for the EU Farmers Grant or whatever it was in the Bronze Age. But I was thinking what happens when Penelope dies and Telemachus goes off into his own life. And I just can't see Odysseus sitting there by the fire rotting, thinking about sheep and thinking about fixing a fence every now and then. Yeah, I just can't see it. I think he heads off out of it. So that's what this is about. I should have said that at the start, so now I'll have to start again, right?
Yes.
But now that you know that, much easier. Ithaca. When you set out from Ithaca again, let it be autumn early, the plain leaves falling as you go, for spring would shake you with its quickening, its whispers of youth.
Yeah.
You will have earned the road down to the harbour, duty discharged, your toll of labour paid, the house foursquare, your son in the full of fatherhood, his mother, your long beloved, gone to the shades. Walk by the doorways. Do not look left or right. Do not inhale the wood smoke, the shy glow of the young girls, the resin and pine of home. Allow them permit you to leave. They have been good neighbors. Plank fitted the plank, slow work and sure, the mast straight as your back. Water and wine, oil, salt and bread, take a hand in yours for luck. Cast off the lines without a backward glance and sheet in the sail. There will be harbours, shelter from weather. There will be long empty passages far from land. There may be love or kindness. Do not count on this, but allow for the possibility. Be ready for storms. When you take leave of Ithaca, round to the south, then strike far down for Circe, Calypso, what you remember, what you must keep in mind. Trust to your course, long since laid down for you. There was never any question of turning back. All those who came the journey with you, those who fell to the flash of bronze, those who turned away into other fates, are long gathered to asphodel and dust. You will go uncompanioned. but go you must. There will be time in the long days and nights, stunned by the sun or driven by the stars, to unwind your spool of life. You will learn again what you always knew. The wind sweeps everything away. When you set out from Ithaca again, you will not need to ask where you are going. Give every day your full unselfconscious attention, the rise and flash of the swell on your beam, the lift into small harbors. Do not forget Ithaca. Keep Ithaca in your mind, all that it was and is and will be without you. Be grateful for where you have been, for those who kept to your side, those who strode out ahead of you or stood back and watched you sail away. Be grateful for kindness in the perfumed dark. But sooner or later, we must sail out again. Some morning, some clear night, you will come to the pillars of Hercules. Sail through if you wish. You're free to turn back. Go forward on deck. Lay your hand on the mast. Hear the wind in its dipping branches. Now you are free of home and journeying, rocked on the cusp of tides. Ithaca is before you. Ithaca is behind you. Man is born homeless and shaped for the sea. You must do what is best. Thank you very much.